Hello, welcome to the DecisionWise Engaging People podcast. This is Charles Rogel. I'm a senior consultant here at DecisionWise, and with me today is Thomas Olson.
Hello, everyone.
Thomas is also one of our consultants here at DecisionWise, and today we're going to be talking about the topic of autonomy and how it plays out in the workplace and how you can increase autonomy with your workforce. So, Thomas, as we dive into this, do you want to talk about some of the questions we use to measure the level of autonomy that we see in organizations?
Yeah. So on our standard survey, we use four questions to measure autonomy. I have the freedom to choose how to best perform my job. My supervisor empowers me to get my work done in the way I see best. I'm empowered to make improvements within our team. And this organization trusts their employees to do their jobs. So those are the four standard questions that we use to measure autonomy.
It's interesting because we're measuring them at different levels. And so, you know, at the job level, I have the freedom to choose how to best do my job. You know, does my supervisor empower me? At the team, you know, do we feel empowered? And then do you feel like the organization gives you autonomy or at least trusts you to do your job? So kind of measuring it from different angles, lenses, that sort of thing. What I see, one thing I'll add here too, is these questions play out very different across different organizations and even within. You know, certain supervisors are better at this than others, certain managers. Sometimes the organization really values this, and so you'll get a high score that the organization trusts their employees to do their job. They feel empowered, but then maybe at different pockets in the organization, it scores lower. And then sometimes across the board, it scores low just because there isn't a lot of opportunity maybe, or people don't feel like maybe in a manufacturing setting that's kind of maybe highly regulated or routine that they can, you know, work outside the framework, so to speak, of how they do their jobs. So anyway, we're going to explore this. So let's kind of talk about then this definition of what autonomy means.
Sure. So it means the quality or state of being self-governing, or it can mean self-directing freedom, and especially having to do with moral independence. So it's interesting that nomos is Greek for law. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you know, autonomous kind of is about making your own laws.
Oh, that's cool.
In a way. So that was kind of interesting looking that up. And the DecisionWise, in the book that our CEO, Tracy Maylett, wrote, Engagement Magic, we see it as the power to shape your work and environment in ways that allow you to perform your best. So I think that's a good way to look at autonomy.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. You know, people have different reactions to the word autonomy. You know, as a manager, sometimes you're feeling like, oh gosh, I don't want to give people too much freedom. And I guess we'll get into this too, but it has a lot of maybe a lot of baggage that goes along with it too.
You know, another thing, Daniel Pink, who writes a lot of different books, business books, he said control leads to compliance and autonomy leads to engagement. So it definitely is important, you know, in the engagement conversation. Autonomy is a big part of having being engaged as an employee.
Yeah, in fact, that's kind of what our research shows, and the A in the magic of the book, as well as the magic model that we use. It's one of the drivers of engagement overall. When people find autonomy in their work, they tend to be more engaged in their work. They want to commit more. They have more ownership as well.
Yeah, and they just tend, like you said, they tend to be happier, more committed, more productive, less likely to leave. So a lot of positives in creating more autonomy in your organization. And then I think the other thing about autonomy that the book talks a little bit about is just trust, and that to create autonomy for your employees, you really have to have trust. You know, if somebody feels like they're trusted to do their work in the way that they see best, that increases, you know, their feeling of autonomy. It's a powerful factor in reducing workplace stress, is what we see.
Yeah, it's funny. It is foundational. So, you know, because if you don't grant autonomy or people don't feel autonomous, then they don't feel trusted. So it's almost, it creates a real emotional response to their approach to work, you know, and their attitudes toward work. But when they do feel trusted, that creates stronger relationships and stronger commitment, I think, as well. So let's talk about the different types of autonomy. I think most people, when they think about autonomy, it's kind of like how we defined it before. It's kind of the power to shape how you do your work. So the task itself, like having the freedom to make your own decisions, to do the job in the way you see best, kind of to fit your skills. But there's also other kind of dynamics that are at play.
Yeah, so we look at four different things. So spatial autonomy, social autonomy, temporal autonomy, and then task autonomy. And so if we start with spatial, this is the power to control the environment in which you work. So I think, you know, the most common example today is working remotely, right? Working from home. And that's something that we see more and more organizations offer to their employees is kind of to take control of where you work.
Yeah.
Or having these open workspaces where you're not defined to a specific cubicle. You come in every day and there's just, you know, a lot of open space. There's couches. There's these little nooks where you can sit.
Yeah, find your spot.
And so that's what we see as spatial autonomy.
You know, it's interesting because some people are perfectly fine showing up to the same cubicle every day and kind of like that feeling of structure or consistency day after day. But other people value a job maybe, you know, as a driver, you know, getting outside, moving around, being at different locations, you know, the variety that offers is very engaging to them. So think about that as yourself. You know, are you okay with where you're working in the same location, or do you need to mix it up a bit?
Yeah, and you know, I've been in companies where you see these people that have been in their same cubicle for 15 years and they have, you know, a million trinkets and plants, and it's almost like they're little...
Their little space.
Yeah,
huh?
It's their little space. The next one is social autonomy. So this is more about the power to control who you work with.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be a little bit harder to grant people, you know, the autonomy to decide exactly who they work with. A lot of times you're defined, you know, with a supervisor that you don't pick. You're defined to a team that you don't necessarily select. But we've seen examples of companies that have tried this very flat hierarchy where they don't have, you know, they don't have assigned teams. It's more just projects.
Yep.
And people choose what project they work on. They almost select their own coworkers for this project. And then when the project comes to an end, you know, they work with other people. They go to a new team.
Yep.
And that's harder, you know, I think for a lot of companies that is harder to put into practice just with the way that they're structured and the type of work that they do.
Yep.
But it's just an interesting observation that we've seen with some companies out there. And then we go into temporal autonomy. And I think this is, you know, we talk about a lot about millennials, but this is really about the power to control when you work. And I think especially millennials like to have that type of autonomy where they can say, hey, I like sleeping in. I'm not an 8 a.m. in the morning kind of person. So if I want to come in at 10 and I want to work till 8 p.m. or if I want to log back on and work from 10 to midnight at night, you know,
yeah,
shouldn't that be an option? And I think, you know, a lot of companies are starting to embrace that where they want the job to get done and they don't really care when it gets done or where even.
Yeah, we're not necessarily punching a clock as much as we used to in the past.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that just, it gives people autonomy. I used to work with people that, you know, they commuted an hour and a half each way.
Yeah.
And so for them, you know, if they could leave and come in at 6 a.m. instead of 8 a.m.
They beat all the traffic.
You know, they beat all the traffic. And then they would leave at 3 p.m. And so for them, you know, and they it was jobs that you could get done at any time.
Sure.
And anywhere, really. So
yeah.
The last one is task autonomy. And this is the power to control how you approach and complete your work and kind of set your own milestones. And so this is, this can be a little bit more of a challenge because in a lot of organizations, they're just, you know, there is certain tasks that need to be accomplished
in a certain way. Yeah.
In a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes we look at companies like that have a lot of customer service, you know, people that sit on the phone, answer phone calls, and you know, it can be harder to control like your autonomy around your task.
Yeah.
It's just kind of very set and very rigorous.
Yeah, and these are interesting. So we see in each of these, there's There's a lot of opportunity in some cases, and there's others where you can't exercise. Like there's no room to wiggle on some of these areas. And so as we talk about autonomy, we're trying to say, hey, think expansively now about opportunities that you have for autonomy in the workplace and what you might not be taking advantage of, which might be appealing to you. And think of ways to incorporate some of these other ways, you know, not just task autonomy, but spatial, social, and temporal into how you're, you know, approaching your work every day. And you might find opportunities and it might make it more engaging for you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you mentioned, Charles, sometimes you just can't give people the opportunity to work from home. Mm-hmm. You might be in an environment, you know, in a manufacturing setting, right? You have to be there. You have to be on the line to move it along and to, you know, put bolts into something or screws or something like that.
Sure.
So, but then you might be able to give autonomy in one of those other areas.
So let's talk about kind of the pros and cons of autonomy. I think some, like I mentioned before, some managers are kind of afraid of this a bit because they feel like if they grant autonomy, you know, give someone an inch, they'll take a mile kind of thing, and it might devolve into chaos in some way. So what are some of the, I guess, pros and cons here?
Yeah, so we have this formula that talks about boundaries plus freedom plus accountability equals autonomy.
Hmm.
And like you said, too much autonomy can be detrimental. And so it's not everybody that knows how to handle autonomy. And I think, you know, as a leader, as a supervisor, as a manager, you have to give certain guidelines. And, you know, you're responsible at the end of the day, you're responsible for your team's results,
yeah,
their deliverables.
Mm-hmm.
And too much choice can really paralyze people too. So if you don't have structure, if you don't have guidelines, then I think autonomy can just become, you know, detrimental. And I think the other thing here is, you know, once you give autonomy, so once you put into place, let's say, working from home policies,
mm-hmm,
if you then take that away, you know, that's something that's for sure is going to kill your engagement.
Yeah.
You know, an example is Yahoo. They most people worked from home. So people worked kind of in a home office.
Yeah.
And then Marissa Mayer came in as the new CEO and she reversed that policy completely. And it just caused a lot of anarchy and people, you know, engagement was.
People got upset.
Yeah people were
coming to the office for some stupid reason.
Right. Yeah. And they had to kind of reverse it down the line and let people start working from home again.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be just aware of when you grant these different types of autonomy, you know, are you able to,
yeah,
to keep them up? Are you able to be consistent with it? And I think you have to be consistent across your workforce as well. Mm-hmm. So if you let somebody work from home,
everyone's going to want to.
Yeah, you have to be aware that,
yeah,
you know, maybe there's teams out there that just wouldn't do well with that. So you have to be aware that it can be seen as like favoritism or.
But I like this a lot, this formula, because, you know, there are some people that like having structure. They just say, hey, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I want clear expectations, clear deliverables. I don't like the ambiguity. And so you really have to kind of help them or structure that more. And other people are like, just tell me what to do or just tell me what you want accomplished and I'll do it. But don't get in my business, you know, don't micromanage me. And so in a way, you're trying to, it's situational in terms of how you measure people or manage people. But I like the, you know, the boundaries plus freedom plus accountability. You know, giving them ownership, the more freedom they want, the more accountability comes into play. And so they have to take more responsibility for the outcome.
Yeah, and I think it's just important for, you know, as a leader of people, as a manager, you need to know your employees, mm-hmm, and you need to know who needs a lot more structure, who's the person on my team that I can just say, I need this done,
yeah,
by this date, and then they'll do it exactly, you know, the way they want to do it, but they're going to deliver results.
Yep.
And like you said, other people just need a little bit more structure, a little more guidance,
yeah,
and they work better under that environment. So it's really, you know, every employee is different.
Yeah, yeah. And so let's talk about when it's not working. So when there's too little autonomy, what are some of the outcomes there?
I think, you know, stress is one of them.
Yeah.
And I think just not feeling engaged. I think the learned helplessness is a term we use where we talk about these elephants in India where, you know, as their baby elephants, the trainers would tie these tiny little, you know, this rope to their to their
leg or what?
Leg. Uh-huh. I was gonna say feet, but they probably don't have feet.
Pads.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can't get it. You know, it's strong enough to hold the baby elephant. And then they keep this rope on, and as the elephant grows, and eventually becomes strong enough to just rip that rope
snap
right
the
out
rope,
of the ground.
Yeah.
They're so used to having that rope as a, you know, as a tie down that they don't attempt to break it.
Hmm.
And so I think, you know, if you don't give employees any autonomy, they get just very, their work becomes very mundane, and there's no creativity. There really is no engagement. You're just kind of going through the motions.
Right.
And so it can really just kill any kind of innovation you have. And I think, you know, especially in a manufacturing environment where people are just working on a line, mm-hmm. it can be hard to create that kind of, you know, buy-in and that kind of engagement, because it really is this set task.
Yeah, and I've seen it like they just don't care. So they're just like, whatever, you're going to make me do it this way. I know it's a dumb way to do it. It's going to cause problems down the line, but fine. That's what you want me to do. I'll do it. And so when problems occur, when there are, you know, issues, they're kind of like, I told you so, but you won't let me change it. So they just get more apathetic about their work.
And that's where, you know, Toyota is a famous example where they have this, you know, they called it the Anden cord, but now it's buttons. It used to be this line that would run across the whole assembly line, and any employee could pull it at any time.
Yeah.
And then basically say like, hey, yeah, I see a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm taking responsibility for this. I want to make sure that we produce the best cars out there.
Yeah.
And I think employees were rewarded, right? So there were some kind of incentives.
Oh, that's good.
To say you are, you know, you're part of the process. You're mm-hmm. not just, you know, you're not just like a human machine.
Right.
You actually have to use your creativity and your, and think about what you're doing. And are there ways we can do it better? You know, feel free to chime in.
So we've talked already about some of the recommendations that we have for managers here as we've gone through this, but you know, one way we think about engagement is that it is a competency to be learned by managers. And there are several competencies around, you know, our magic model, autonomy being one of them. And so autonomy as a competency, we've defined in different ways. And so do you want to talk about some of the competencies around autonomy?
Yeah. So some of the things that a manager, as you can think about as a manager, is delegation, accountability, empowerment. And so if we talk about delegation first, it really comes down, you know, you can delegate really kind of routine tasks to your employees, but you can also delegate really critical things and feel like, make that employee feel like what they're doing is very important for the organization. And then just the trust as well. I think when you delegate something, you're showing that you trust an employee.
Yep.
And around accountability, you know, I think it's important to have those feedback discussions with your employees, and you set the right expectations for performance, for deliverables, and then just, you know, making your employees feel a sense of ownership.
Yeah.
That they own what they're delivering. And then empowerment, you know, it comes back to that conversation about you have to have some structure, and there has to be that feedback loop to your manager. If you just get this really high level, very ambiguous project, it can really cripple a lot of people with stress and not feeling like, you know, it might feel like a lot of autonomy, but it, you know, that's where it becomes a, you know, a bad thing, I think.
No, agreed. And I'm also thinking, you know, we stress these as leadership competencies, but it doesn't work if the organization itself doesn't value autonomy as kind of a core competency or value in the organization. So it definitely comes down from the top. So if senior leadership and if the CEO agrees that, hey, yeah, our people are smart and capable and have good ideas, we should grant them autonomy and help them make the organization better. If that attitude isn't there, then managers will tend to be more, you know, and if the manager is really held accountable for metrics and numbers and they're driven by that, then that'll lead them to be more of a micromanager with their own employees. And so it kind of kills autonomy and kills production, ideas, creativity. But if senior leadership grants that, understands the benefit, it allows so much more open, you know, autonomy, empowerment to happen throughout the organization.
I agree completely. I think autonomy just, you know, can lead to a lot more creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pull that out of employees that have never shown that kind of aptitude before.
Yeah.
If you give them autonomy.
And I've seen it work. You know, I work with a couple organizations that are manufacturing facilities, even have a lot of union employees, because you feel like, oh yeah, that's great. It doesn't work with unions though. You know, it's always, you know, there's always some animosity there between management and workers. But even in those cases, you know, you're trying to build trust. You're trying to give them more power. They know how to do their job. They've been doing it for 20 years. So the more you can kind of grant that and exercise that, the better outcomes that you'll have. Thomas, anything else you want to add in terms of the topic around of autonomy?
No, just that, you know, I think it's important just to be aware of how much autonomy. And like you said, what is the culture of autonomy in the company? How does it come down from the senior leadership or the executives? And then once you grant autonomy, you know, you got to be ready to keep that going as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
If you grant something like that and then take it away, it's going to do more damage than good.
Right. Yeah. You'll lose all that trust you built. Excellent. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. And Thomas, thanks for your input today. We look forward to having everyone join us on our next podcast. Thanks everyone.